Christ. Jesus Christ. And away we go. All right. We're very loud. All right. Calm down.
Oh, they can control the volume.
I know, but still.
You can control the volume, right, guys? Hey everyone.
How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
How have you been since that thing that happened to you? You all right?
Yeah. Hope you're good.
Yeah, I've been good.
I've been okay.
Cool. All right. We'll see you next week.
That's it.
Hello, everyone. Podcast. Welcome to another edition of Relatively Subjective. I am George.
And I am David.
And we are cousins. And we review movies and talk about them and live our lives afterwards.
That's the part you don't hear.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not living our lives. It's very boring.
Help us. We live in your whatever device you're using. You can't. No. I'm a person. I'm a human. Every time we start, they're just like, all right, let the dogs out. Sons of bitches.
Next day, there's a dog fighting right next door.
Yeah, they always start when we start.
Yeah.
Okay. We are gathered here today
to talk about a very special movie.
Very special. Yeah, I mean, I listen to Queen my entire life. Yeah. So is everyone else.
I think, they're pretty prolific.
Yeah.
But so if you could probably imagine, we're going to be talking about Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's right.
But it's also kind of like a topic episode-ish.
Yeah,
because we're not simply going to just be talking about the one biopic. We're going to be kind of like mainly focusing on that one, but also kind of like bringing in some other ones that we have seen / like.
Yeah.
But and it's actually pretty funny. At the beginning of us discussing that we were going to do a biopic episode, I was just like, I don't think I've ever seen that many, or, you know, whatever. But then I literally just typed in biopic on Google, and I was like, oh, I've seen that one and that one and that one. So, yeah.
So you pronounce it biopic, huh?
Instead of biopic?
Yeah. I pronounce it biopic.
I think it's biopic.
Oh, it doesn't matter, but, I mean, one of us is wrong, maybe. I don't know.
But, yeah, I'm sure people have pronounced it other ways, too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think I've seen a fair amount of them.
I've seen a few.
There's like no way to like talk about this movie because neither of us are experts on Freddie Mercury. At least I'm not. So
I actually did some research.
Yeah, I did some research afterwards because I find that whenever I go into a biopic, like knowing who it's about, I'm just like, that didn't happen. I'm not enjoying myself.
That's actually something that I did too. I definitely want to review this movie simply for the fact of, you know, that it's a movie and that it was made and it's for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
But then I also do want to kind of reference the history that they totally rewrote.
Yeah.
Should
we talk about biopics first or the movie first?
I would say let's go into Bo Rat.
Okay.
Let's do it. Rap about Bo Rat.
That's a nice abbreve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring in some other biopics.
Yeah. So. This is a story about Queen, but mainly Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone knows Freddie Mercury.
And it's Rami Malek.
Yep.
Doing Freddie Mercury.
Who, interesting side note, I didn't know this. What's his name?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen was offered the role first.
I remember when it was first announced that they were making this and he was attached to it. I was like, interesting. Yeah. I'm sure he can pull it off because he's able to make actual people like bite off dildos and scream the N-word. So I'm sure he'll be able to fool us into making us think he's Freddie Mercury.
I mean, sure, I guess. That's not exactly what I was thinking about when I heard that.
He also looks a lot like him, too.
But yeah, so. I was going to say he looks a little bit more like him. He's kind of like racially ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Rami Malek, you can kind of tell that he's, you know.
I don't even know where he's from or where his
Middle Eastern.
What is
his parents in the movie were totally, you know, they I mean, they said it out loud. I just forgot what they said they were. Pakistani?
I know that they came from, they immigrated to India from somewhere and then went to the UK from India.
Yeah.
But I don't remember exactly.
Yeah. So his name was what? Farouk?
Farouk something or other. I forget.
And he changed it to Freddie Mercury. So, I mean, you know, there, like I said before, there's a lot of, excuse me, there's a lot of, like, interesting overview, kind of, that they do for the movie and for his life, but not all of it is correct.
Yeah.
But like I said, I want to talk about it simply from the entertainment aspect of
it. Let's talk about it as a movie.
Yes, as a movie, as just simply as a movie going through. It was definitely fun in the beginning, because I really liked how they brought him into being like the bandmate and everything, and like their struggles to like making it big and stuff, and just his over the top personality. And then they got to a point in the movie, and I want to say it was maybe like exactly 50% through the movie where they kind of like switched what the movie was about, and it made me.
It took you out of it a little bit?
Yes. Or? It took me out of it a little bit. It was a little bit disappointing.
So you're saying because it went from movie about the band making it to movie about Freddie's life and struggle, like going through life alone, like that kind of transition? Or what transition happened at the halfway point?
It was the first half of the movie, I want to say, is the lead up to their success.
Right.
And then the second half of the movie is his downward spiral and then his retribution.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, the third act is his basically just coming back.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. Simply not only because of the research that I did, but also because of the facts that I knew about him before this movie,
mm-hmm.
but also because of the tone that they set for his character.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it more, I think, but the part of the movie where we always spoil this. This is another.
We never tell them anymore.
We always forget
but
to
guys,
tell you.
Guys, we'll spoil the shit out of this every movie we talk about.
Just letting you know now.
Yeah.
There's a part of the movie where he's with he went on tour, whatever. He comes back to London. He comes back to his wife, Mary. And there's something wrong, and she's like, you know, what's wrong? And Freddie Mercury, who has been up to this point completely open and honest and super crazy and super sexual, becomes this meek, timid little boy, and he's not sure how to tell his wife that he's not straight.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes it upon herself to say, "You're gay, and I've been questioning this for a little while now." And it kind of, I feel like it zaps the rest of the movie with anti-Freddie Mercury power.
Really?
Like, yeah. For me, it was just like you pull the rug out from under him. All the momentum that he was just going on, all the power, all of the iconic, like, Freddie Mercury-ness of mm-hmm. what was happening, and from that moment and onward, kind of just pushed him over, and you were just like, this movie's not about you anymore.
Oh, okay.
And it really annoyed me. Not really annoyed me. It disappointed me just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
That was hyperbole.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take that back. But I kind of feel like they were, and of course, you know, two of the band members were producers for this movie.
Right, Brian May and the other guy.
One of them,
I'm sure it was the drummer because they throw the bassist under the bus all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. Them. Yeah, the other one was kind of just like, he didn't want to be a part of it. He was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so like there is a lot to say about these two guys producing the movie and like overseeing the script and seeing and like overseeing directing and everything. And this third guy not really being there, but also Freddie Mercury being dead.
Mm-hmm.
So like, spoiler alert. So he can't like say what was right and what was wrong. And, you know,
well, Brian May did have his interests at heart. And that's why Sacha Baron Cohen was kicked off they disagreed and didn't go with him, because Sacha Baron Cohen wanted to make a movie about Freddie Mercury's more wild times.
Yeah.
And his, because there are stories of him doing the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make the movie mostly about that.
Yeah. We only get a really tiny bit of that, and it's not even that crazy.
That's something I wanted to bring up about this movie. So the rise to fame for them, sort of that 1 year later thing, I kind of wanted to see them be a band in the beginning. I don't know if it wasn't interesting or that nothing really happened to them in that time.
Yeah,
but they went from Freddie Mercury joining
forming the band, yeah,
and then 1 year later getting a signed to a contract.
Yeah.
So that year, I mean, when it comes to biopics, they always embellish and make it dramatic to make it entertaining. So why was that not done?
I mean, you know? I feel like,
because this movie is long. It's 2 hours and a little over 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah. At least I think it was.
That is long. It didn't feel like that to me.
It didn't feel like it, no, but I think it was because I got the showtime and then I was like, oh, this movie's long.
Oh, wow, two hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, that is long.
It's got a little real runtime
yeah.
there.
But yeah, like I said, it didn't feel like that to me. But yeah, I agree. I agree that, you know, obviously these rewritings of history are going to kind of like change stuff up for, you know, easily digested by the audience. But I don't know. I definitely agree. I definitely think that seeing them struggle more, or not even so much seeing them struggle more, but just like seeing like the dynamic between the band.
It was odd because I think their chemistry was awesome. They had a great banter and like back and forth when they were have like band meetings and trying to agree on like the sound of the band and stuff.
We have to be more experimental.
Yeah, and you'd get like, you know, cheeky remarks from everyone, and they would just have like their little arguments. It was always like fun to watch, but you didn't see it formed.
Yeah.
So it was almost weird because it was like, I didn't see how this came to be.
Yeah, where did this come from?
But you guys are great friends. So and I love watching it. Yeah. So it's great. But yeah, they use the montage for their tours.
Yeah.
They use a montage for
cool. I liked that montage.
Yeah, no. The editing, cinematography of the movie, the whole like them like going from like the front of the tour bus through the tour bus into concerts, into other concerts.
All the crazy outfits that
he did a pose and then it panned out and
pull out.
It was all cool to see. It was very visually pleasing. But the montages, like the montage of his crazy event, like I'm guessing this is the montage that he contracts AIDS, you know, the one where he gets close to the guy who's what's his name? Was he a manager or
something like that.
Yeah, he was like that manager guy, and he like
the bad guy
latches onto him, and then he takes him to all the clubs and stuff, and they just sort of montage through that. That's what Sacha Baron Cohen wanted to focus on, I'm assuming. And we should have seen like a little bit of that, I think.
It was so obviously one of the biggest things that I didn't like, especially with that second half of the movie, was the overpowering straight washing that happened. And I don't know, like you said, you know, these people, or not these people, quote, you know, the bandmates, I guess, you know, maybe they didn't want to make people aware of how crazy he was, or maybe they just wanted to try to like pull it back, or maybe they even thought that people wouldn't watch it if there was too much gay sex or whatever. But like, with the amount of the, you know, there wasn't even that much in it to begin. Anyway, yeah. I thought it was definitely like very.
Yeah, because there were men kissing, but that was it.
There wasn't really much more insinuating that he even had sex with another man.
Yeah.
So like we got more of that in like, what was that movie Jim Carrey did with Ewan McGregor?
Oh, I love you, Philip Morris.
Philip Morris. Yeah. Yeah. Like we got way more gay sex in that movie, and that was like, that was just a fiction thing.
Right? Yeah, and it was a biopic, also, right? Wasn't that?
Oh, it was a true story, wasn't it?
It was a true story. Goodness. Yeah, maybe it was one of those based on a true story ones, but nevertheless, I'm sure they were.
But like, I kind of feel like for this kind of movie, it was more expected.
Well,
and
yeah,
the fact that they didn't do it made me disappointed.
That's Sacha Baron Cohen's point. You know, Brian May probably wanted everyone to keep listening to Queen and have this picture in their head when they thought of Freddie Mercury as, you know, he's this outgoing personality and stuff, but we don't want to see what, you know,
he
goes on
closed doors. Yeah.
But even though that's who he was.
All the drugs and all the sex and the sex parties and stuff.
Right. And
there's even that scene where he goes on, was it Roger? Is that what, that was the manager guy?
John, Roger?
John,
I don't.
John, Paul, Jim.
Was it Paul? I think it was Paul. No, it wasn't Paul.
I don't know. But he.
Looking at the IMDb?
I'm on the IMDb. They like quote unquote break up, and then he goes on TV and he's, you know, talking about Freddie Mercury's like secret life.
Yeah.
And he's just like, like sex parties and like different partners every night. And I kind of.
Yeah, it was Paul.
Paul, yeah. And I was kind of just like, so what? Like, this guy obviously just has a super strong like obsession with Freddie Mercury. That's why he was being so toxic. All right, and like we get it, and let's move on.
Yeah, they got it.
It didn't really affect him in any other way besides him having to deal with it himself.
So, I don't know. I guess Brian May and the other producers thought that as long as it was said, like you didn't need to see it, kind of a thing. Because when Paul and him have a falling out, he says, Freddie, like, you know, says to him, like, you go ahead and you do whatever you need to do. You tell everyone whatever you want. As long as I don't see your face again, that's all I care about. You know, that I guess that's enough. Or in Brian May's and everyone else's eyes, or the producer's eyes, that was like, yeah, you guys get it, right? Like, he was he had his wild parties and stuff. You don't need to see it. But it's also what makes it interesting. It was very, I guess it is straight washed, you know, because it's just perfect. Like, if Disney made a biopic on Freddie Mercury, this is how they would, like, they would prop it up and tie it nicely in a bow, with a bow, and show it to you. Just like, this is Freddie Mercury, right?
And then you're like, you feel bad for him, but then he, like, oh, he comes back.
Yeah.
And another thing that I really, like, when he's kind of going on his downward spiral about contracting AIDS and, or HIV, and then finding out that he has AIDS, it's this, like, super sad kind of, like, him going to the doctor, mm-hmm. and then, like, heyo with that
other patient. Yeah, with that fan.
And then, like, telling the band before they go to Live Aid, which is technically out of order, but we'll talk about that later. They, for me anyway, I don't know if you felt like this, but for me, him being this kind of like crazy outgoing sex deviant kind of thing, and then asking for forgiveness, is, I feel somebody maybe on the production team made it feel to me anyway that he was trying to not only ask forgiveness to the band to bring him back, but also for asking them to forgive him that he had AIDS. And no, like, it felt to me that he was like the bad boy, so he got HIV. Like, that's what happens to bad boys. They get HIV. And then, like, oh, you want to come back? All right, fine. But now you have to be okay with getting HIV.
Well, when you think about what actually happened, apparently, I don't know, you know, did he tell them afterwards? Is that what happened?
So they did the Live Aid show, was it 75?
It's 84, I think.
Wow. Well, where's my time?
I don't know.
So anyway, the main point is he got his diagnosis 2 years after Live Aid.
Oh.
Not before.
So yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, yes, of course, they change it up. But like, but even them framing it that way, that he has to like ask for forgiveness, like he comes to the band with his tail between his legs and, you know, saying, you know, I'll do anything to get you back. Let's just do the Live Aid show. I'm just like, this isn't who he was. This isn't what they propped him up to be for the first half of the movie. This isn't like he changed. He was he was very needy, especially when he got his house, mm-hmm. and he was calling his ex-wife come over, and he was like, let's have a party, I'm lonely. We get it, you're lonely, but like, that's not what he did. I feel like that's not what his character would do. He would go out, he would find people, he would, you know, he's a very personable guy, he wouldn't hide. And that's one of the things that really annoyed me, was that I feel like they didn't just change the real life character of Freddie Mercury, but they changed him in the movie so much from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And that ticked me off.
That goes back to not researching this before going in, because I kind of knew they would do this. I've learned my lesson over the years watching biopics if you research like what this is about, you're gonna be disappointed. If it's a true story and you research what it's about, you're not gonna like it, because you're gonna be like, well, that didn't happen. Yeah. Like,
but I also kind of feel like the real story is more interesting than what
we don't know. We don't know, because Brian May lived it, and he was just like, it's just mind boggling to me that if they were making a movie about someone I knew, and then they were just like, and then we're gonna, you know, that thing that happened at this year, we're gonna set it back a few years before this happened, so it's like more dramatic and. I'd be like, but it didn't happen at all. Like it changes everything. Yeah. It's going to change the way people see them, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know why people give the okay for that kind of stuff, but
I mean, it happens all the time, but that's exactly what they change it so that they can fit it into the storyline. So that it's digestible for the fan.
Right.
or not really the fan, but for the masses, I guess.
Right.
But the thing that annoys me even more so is that people are going to see this movie and think that it's complete fact.
Of course, that's with every biopic.
That's annoying.
Yeah, that's with every biopic. If you watch Walk the Line, you feel like you know Johnny Cash's life, when in fact, like, a lot of the stuff that happened either didn't happen in the way it did, or it just didn't happen at all, you know? But as a movie, Walk the Line was good.
Yeah.
As a movie, this movie I thought was good.
Yeah.
I took, you know, since I didn't know anything about it, I was able to immerse myself. I even went to see it in RPX.
Nice.
And it was worth it. It was worth the money, especially for this movie.
The soundtrack for this movie? Are you kidding me?
I felt the bass in every song. It was just like awesome. I want to see every movie in RPX now, but I'll probably just watch the music ones in RPX.
Yeah, anything. Yeah, I think that would be the only kind of movie that's worth it, if there's got like actual music in it. Because you don't need that for speaking or like explosions.
But they also had this in 4DX. I didn't go see it. But what? I was like, why do you need smells and like movement for...
That's weird.
It's like, I don't know. What is live aid smell like? Just like a bunch of people huddled that's together. And
I don't think I would want to follow him into a sex dungeon.
Yeah, just like, this is what it smelled like in there. What? What's going on? I've never done a 4DX, and I didn't think that was the first movie I should do 4DX
in. No, definitely not.
It was more like...
Infinity
War 2, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say Star Wars, like 4DX. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah,
but
Bohemian Rhapsody? A biopic? Maybe not.
Not the best.
What else? I think my favorite part about this movie was the chemistry between the band, and that fell off in the second half.
Yeah.
But, you know, Freddie Mercury was an interesting character to keep it going.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a bummer, you know, the second half.
Definitely.
But, you know, you get those in biopics, the spiral, the downward spiral, and then the redemption at the end.
Yeah.
So, and...
The Live Aid performance, like, I actually read this afterwards, but, like, Rami Malek and the band, like, they studied the Live Aid footage to basically recreate it, like shot for shot, like choreography for choreography.
He took this really seriously,
and like that, I really appreciate that as a character or as an actor. I'm glad that he put in that extra work to really make it what it was. He didn't try to make it anything more, and he didn't take away anything from it. He wanted to do it exactly, and I really appreciate that, because especially for him, for Freddie Mercury being such a gay icon, it really. Like, because after the movie, I actually did watch the 20-minute set of for Live Aid that they did on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Go watch it. It's fantastic.
Do it.
It's great. It's great music. It's like...
They got the exact same number of Pepsi cups on the piano and everything.
Literally everything, like, to the dime.
He was fucking around with the cameraman and everything, where he blew his mom a kiss.
Oh, my God.
All of it. Like, it was like...
so great.
I wonder if that kiss was actually for his mom, because obviously,
I hope so.
I don't know if he took a tour, like... grabs the boyfriend who's like perfect, goes to the family, gets his dad's approval, and mom, I'm gonna blow you a kiss, and then, you know, fixes his life in one day.
That is probably
and then
all
goes
bullshit.
To well, yeah, he didn't.
But,
yeah, he.
But
didn't.
It makes for a good movie.
Yeah, it makes for a good movie.
But yeah, I definitely, that was probably the whole storyline with his parents, like with his family, I think was probably my favorite part.
Yeah, I wanted them to do more with that, and obviously. Not if that didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like, you know, make it so.
Make it real.
Yeah. But I was wondering, like, I know that Freddie wasn't so wrapped up in his heritage.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm English. I'm not, you know, from there. But, you know, I was wondering the entire movie, are you ever going to get back to your family?
Mm-hmm.
After you've had all the success, does your dad still think you're not, you know, doing good thoughts, good actions, whatever. Good deeds.
Good thoughts, good words, good deeds. Like
good words, good thought, good thoughts, good words, good deeds. Yeah, and I was just like, did he never like make up with his parents, or did he just like forget about them completely? Because he's like, I'm alone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, your mom loves you very much. Your sister loves you very much.
Your sister's awesome.
Your dad, I guess, is like
kind of
a dick.
Yeah.
But after all the success, which is what he cared about, I think you'll be okay. Like, go back home. Like,
do something
with them. And I don't know if he did in real life, but. But how many times did you cry? I almost cried when his dad was like choking up like, you know, because he was proud of him.
Yeah, when he
got I was like, oh.
I did not cry at that point.
Well, actually, you were just like, this isn't real. You just had your arms crossed. You were like, this is bullshit.
As I was watching the movie, I wasn't like that. I was like that afterwards. But during that part specifically, I was like, all right, that's cute.
Yeah.
I didn't like think it was overly sentimental. I was just like, anytime I see someone cry on stage, like on film, like, of course, yeah, it's going to like tug at your heartstrings. But for this specific scene, it wasn't that great.
Well, for me, because when it comes to dad stuff, I'm always just like, yeah. any dad thing. It could be like animals, like a dog, wolf, like a wolf talking to his wolf dad. And talking, they're just like, I love you, son. I'm just like,
Balto 3.
Yeah, Balto. It gets me. Gets me every time.
Kung Fu but Panda. Yeah, I feel like, you know, putting it into that pretty picture, like, he finally had like a respectable boyfriend, and they never even said the word boyfriend. He just said, this is my friend. Mm-hmm. And then his mom was like, it's so nice to have friends. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's, I guess that's them accepting it. But at the same time, I was just like, you know, all right, let's go. Like, I get it. Like, this is the part where you get your family's okay to be gay. And then like, now you're going to do Live Aid. So, yeah.
So I guess you could say that this movie shined most when Freddie was allowed to be Freddie, or the Freddie we knew when he was on stage and doing his thing, or if he was ever, you know, he had his, you know, that personality interacting with other people.
I agree.
That was when he shined the most, where you're just like, yes, this is
when you knew that the person that was being portrayed and the actual person from history were as close as they could be together.
Yeah.
That's when I think this movie was.
Yeah, and Brian May went and said something like, it was that Rami Malek did the perfect, like, it was like seeing Freddie like come back.
Yeah,
like,
of course, like, he's gonna say that though.
Oh yeah, because he produced the movie. Yeah. He was like, go see it.
Yeah, but I think for me, the most heart wrenching part of the movie, the part that actually made me cry, was, and it was a very short part, but it was like a mixture of two scenes. So the first scene is just him. So this is like towards the end of the movie. He's like, he sees it on TV that AIDS is killing men and stuff. So he has to go to the doctor, get himself checked. His doctor there's music over the dialogue, so you don't really even hear what the doctor's saying.
There was only a snippet, right? Yeah. It was just like, this is what we have to do afterwards.
Yeah. And like, this is your treatment. And, you know,
and
back
he just
then,
like looks
there
down.
There was no treatment,
yeah,
you know? So, so whatever. So he's just like folded his hands and he just like looks really dejected. He's got sunglasses and a hat on because, you know, he's a celebrity. He doesn't want to be seen, whatever. So he's like, as he's walking out of the hospital, he sees another man like sitting on a bench who's obviously dying of AIDS, and he looks up at Freddie just keeps walking, but he does the whole
Dale,
and Freddie looks back and he goes Dale, and then like, and then he walks out, and then the next scene is him meeting up with his band. And in the movie, this is when he tells his bandmates that he has AIDS, and then like all three of them start crying and they give him a hug. So like, from going from the solidarity between gay guys with AIDS to him actually like outing himself as someone who has AIDS got me. That was like, and that was obviously the most emotional part of the movie anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess they did it right. They did a good job.
You wanna know something?
What?
That was the moment I couldn't hold my pee anymore and left the theater. And now I'm upset that I missed that fucking moment.
You missed it.
Because you're saying since the beginning of the podcast that he told them that he has AIDS, like, he explicitly says it.
Yeah,
I missed the fucking moment. I missed the moment.
I missed that,
because the only thing I remember is him telling the manager, he's just like, "What if I don't have all that much time?" Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing I remember from that meeting. But I couldn't hold my pee anymore. Mm. And I was just like, I'll be quick. And I just ran away.
Drinking large sodas.
It was a medium. Thank you very much. But I had like a shake for breakfast. So that's probably why. It was just like too many liquids.
Yeah. So they're practicing for Live Aid and he's not singing.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was like sounding like shit. Yeah. And then he was like, sorry guys. Yeah. And that's when I bounced.
Yeah. So that's when you left. But the scene doesn't end there. He just like looks back and he's just like, actually, I do want to tell you something. And then he even says, he's like, I've got it. And the bassist, he's like, what have you got? and he looks at him, he's like, AIDS. And then they all kind of just like gasp and like,
and they all cry and stuff?
And they all cry. And then they give him a hug.
Damn it. I missed it. I have to go see it again now just for that part.
But yeah, like that was definitely emotional. It was definitely heart-wrenching. It was definitely the part that made me feel most bad for him. But even in the speech that he gives his bandmates, he's just like, you know, don't cry for me. I don't want to see any more tears. We're here to, you know, raise some money for the children in Africa. We're going to do such a good job and we're going to like beast it. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, that's kind of like the Freddy that I know. Like he didn't care what people thought of him. He just wanted to sing. He wanted to make the music.
Yeah.
What'd you think of his teeth?
I mean, they're pretty accurate. That's how he looked in real life. Have you seen pictures of Freddie Mercury?
I don't think so. I think
the man could not close his mouth.
I think that
if you type in Freddie Mercury, it, like the first thing is teeth. Like Freddie Mercury teeth is the first thing you see on Google Images.
I don't think it's as bad as they made it seem to be in the movie. Literally in the movie, he like the prosthetics whatever were jutting out of his face. In You can see in pictures of real Freddie Mercury, he's very capable of closing his mouth. He's very capable of doing a cool smile. Maybe it's the mustache is hiding it too a little bit. But like...
Yeah, well, look at pre-mustache pictures. See if it's the same.
I don't know.
Because for most of this movie, he did not have a mustache.
I kind
of
feel like they made his teeth too big. And it annoyed me throughout the entire movie.
Really?
Yeah, the entire movie. Because you could see how uncomfortable Rami Malek was at having these giant prosthetics on his face. And I was just like, it's not accurate.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe it's just Rami Malek's head. You ever think of that? Maybe his head doesn't jive with your
you image know what?
Of Freddie
Maybe
Mercury.
He doesn't.
Maybe Rami Sacha Baron Cohen would have been a better Freddie Mercury.
Maybe
who's to say?
He would have.
I say that Sacha Baron Cohen should produce his own Freddie Mercury biopic.
I would be okay with that.
Because
I want to see the part of Freddie that we didn't see in this movie.
Yeah.
Like make a companion movie or something. Go for
well,
it.
Well, people do multiple biopics on the same people all the
especially
time.
When, you know, this one didn't
please you.
Yeah. Well, yes, that one, yes.
Yeah.
But also it wasn't super historically accurate.
Well, no, it's never going to be, man. It's just never going to be.
But or maybe how about instead of a biopic, he just gives us a documentary.
Okay. Sure.
I want a documentary.
Documentaries are always 100 times better than biopics in terms of things right.
But I mean even a documentary about Freddie Mercury's life, it would be super entertaining.
Sure it would, yeah.
The music would be fantastic and like clips of all
his concerts.
Come on, yes. All right.
Behind the scenes.
Sacha Baron Cohen, do it.
Do it, coward. I know you're listening. You gutless mother.
No, you have fine. Relatively subjective backing you.
Yeah.
We will offer you absolutely
I
no money.
I have $20 for this production.
Do your best.
You got this.
Yes. All right.
All right.
How many super giant teeth out of 10 you're gonna give this movie?
I'm gonna, based on its entertainment value, I'm gonna go ahead and give this movie. I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it 7 giant teeth out of 10. It's a good movie, especially if you're a fan of Queen.
Yes.
The music is obviously great.
Yes.
Obviously not historically accurate.
Yes.
Great performances all around. Great chemistry between the actors.
Long.
Cinematography is good. Yeah. Rewatchability is not that high, I guess.
It's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. So, like, if I didn't have anything to do and it was on TV.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I'd like.
I would definitely watch it with someone.
Yeah. Yeah, that hasn't seen it before or something.
And yeah, and like sing every song.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Go see it in RPX. It makes it 10 times
better.
Enhanced
music. I normally don't ever recommend enhanced music because it's like $5 extra
a
ticket.
It was like $22.
Yeah. But for this movie specifically, worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Worth it.
How many? I'm not going to say mustaches. That's too easy.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just said teeth, so it's right above it.
Yeah. How many good deeds out of 10 do you give this?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Good deeds.
Good dads.
Good dads. How many good dads out of 10 do you give
good
this?
Dads? I am also going to give this a 7 good dads out of 10. Like you said, the going through it for the first time and watching it was very entertaining. I did not feel the 2 hours. It was... I laughed, I screamed, I cried, I sang along.
You screamed?
Yes.
You're just like, ah!
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
In frustration.
in enjoyment.
This team!
But yeah, it was definitely entertaining. Yeah. It was definitely a good movie, awesome music, like I said. It was not historically accurate, but I didn't find that out until after, so I'm not going to hold that against it.
Yeah.
For this podcast. Yeah. For the rest of my life, I will. But not for right now.
You got a grudge.
A little bit. All right, so
Real quick.
Oh, okay.
You said that he's a gay icon. Yes. So do you feel like, you know, you were so like hell bent on it being historically accurate, like, or were you just like, this is straight washed garbage the entire time?
Well, like I said,
because it obviously means something different to you than it does to me.
Yes, it definitely does. But like I said at the beginning, I didn't start feeling it, the straight washing, until halfway through the movie.
When she outed him.
And like, I'm not 100% sure if that is historically accurate, but that's when I feel like the movie stopped being about how this amazing, you know, ego monster, brilliant composer treated everyone. And it started being about how this bad guy gets AIDS because he deserves it.
Mm.
Like, that's how it kind of came off to me.
Right.
And from this movie specifically, I know for a fact, and I know, you know, outside of this movie, that Freddie Mercury was obviously a gay icon and he was huge and a superstar and, like, you know, amazing. From this movie, he was a fantastic performer. He had an ego, and he was kind of a rebel bad boy, but nothing really in it screamed gay icon.
Okay.
So that's another reason why I was a little disappointed.
So they got him right in certain aspects, but in the one that's really important to you, they didn't.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. All I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about other biopics real quick.
So I want to start.
All right, go ahead.
Because
is this like one you enjoy or one you just have seen?
No, this is my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to start with my favorite one. It's also another musical one about our favorite Tejana singer, Selena.
Oh my God.
This movie's fantastic.
Selena. This bumper was pulled off by the bus of Salinas.
Yes. Okay. So, like I said earlier in the podcast, I totally forgot about all biopics that I've ever seen.
David,
because
let me ask you.
But
when was the last time you saw Selena?
Probably earlier this year on TV.
Okay. Same for me. I watched it a few months ago. It's really soap opera-y dramatic.
I know,
it's so soap opera-y dramatic. Oh, so God. Much so
growing
much so.
Up growing up with this music
we
though,
did grow up with the yes, music and like it... I had it on VHS, so we'd watch it all the time.
I don't know. I mean, there, and for the most part it is historically accurate, because they had her parents, I believe, and her and the people in the band, the brothers and sisters, work on the movie with the production company as well. So mm-hmm. we know that most of the stuff that actually happened did actually happen.
And they did include clips of, yeah, of real life,
you know, real life stuff.
Selena footage.
They even had real life clips of the night that she was murdered.
Yeah,
the
police, lady
in
the truck.
Yeah,
recording with a car, was it, gun.
And
her
that's
head.
Like, that's intense. And that's insane. Yeah. And so I really think that this movie, not only was it a super entertaining movie, there was obviously some parts of it that were inflated, but it was also true-ish to life. So not only in the entertainment factor of watching it for the first time, but also knowing the historical figure behind it, it's a good movie because they marry the two very well.
Yeah, and J-Lo does a great
and
job.
And J-Lo does a fantastic
She's
job.
Basically Selena in this
yeah,
movie.
Pretty
yeah,
pretty much. And just I just like the music and everything that goes with it, and mm-hmm. you know, bringing it back to even our childhood, but also bringing it back to our heritage and everything. Like, everything kind of makes it my favorite, you know.
Yeah, growing up with that movie, that the thing that her dad tells her about Mexican Americans not ever being American enough, and yeah. Mexican Americans not ever being Mexican enough, that always stuck with me, and I don't know why. Well, like, I never had to really deal with that in my yeah. life. No one's ever just like, you're not American. You're not Mexican. I just, like, whenever we'd go to Mexico mm-hmm. and I started speaking Spanish and it sounded Dominican,
yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I'm never going to be enough for these people. I'm never going to be one of them.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's something that you hold with you. Like, even like you said, if nobody even says it, you still hold it with you because you always want to try to make that part of you proud. And
yeah.
you know that you might not because yeah. you're not.
Yeah. It's also a big deal for my mom. So it's always like nice yeah. to have that music and just think of that yeah. side of the family.
Yeah. And they, yeah, they love it.
Yeah.
They love
it. And they just played it at every party.
Like, yeah, they really do. Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Whenever it comes on, we all just like put our hands up and just like, woo! yeah. It's like beady beady bom bom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good times. If you've never been to a Tavares or Garcia de Rosa family party, you should come by.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an open invitation to all of our listeners.
Tecnocumbia.
Just come over and be like, we listen to Relatively Subjective and we'll give you a and beer then, and you we'll all dance yeah, together.
We'll dance.
We'll do the ceremonial family dance together. we have we one do. Of those too. How many Dinos out of 10 do you give this movie?
We're going to be rating these movies?
I don't know. I figured we usually just do a quick rating every time we bring up
something. Yeah, let's do something. It. I'm totally going to give this movie a 10.
a 10 out of 10.
I would totally
perfect
watch,
movie.
I would totally watch this movie whenever it is on.
Okay.
And like I said, dance, scream, and cry for the entire movie.
yeah.
And sing. I forgot sing.
Yeah. I guess all of these movies we're talking about, if we're talking about favorites, it's going to be a personal 10 out of 10 anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
You can't, I don't know if you can consider this it's like not really good, but you like it.
Guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you will consider these guilty pleasures, but cause I think that this movie is great.
Yeah.
And obviously that's like my idea, but I don't know how it did in the theaters.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was probably a commercial success because it didn't come out too long after she died.
Yeah.
So
and it was, yeah.
They like, definitely cleaned up there. They were just like, everyone still remembers this. Yeah. This just happened.
This was recent.
Yeah. But yeah.
Totes 10. What about you?
I mean, personal, like it is a 10 just because it's one of those movies you grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's like Lion King, but about a Mexican pop singer. Mexican-American pop singer. My choice for a biopic is another personal favorite that is arguably not a good movie also is Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen clips of it. I haven't seen it full from beginning to end.
So it's Bruce Lee's quote-unquote life, but it's portrayed as a kung fu movie. So the main character that's playing Bruce Lee, he's constantly fighting people throughout his life. And so he's in America, he joins a university and he's using some sort of gym equipment and some white guys come over and they're just doing talking racist things to him. And he fights them like Bruce Lee would fight a person in the movies. That happens throughout the entire movie. So he's just like at work and he's working at a Chinese restaurant and he hooks up with one of the girls that works there. And she's, I guess, claimed by another guy. They all take meat cleavers out and they attack him and he uses kung fu on them. And the fight scenes in my mind are pretty good from what I can remember. They're like good for what they like. They're
for
imitating Bruce Lee's style of, you know, his kick to the head, like knocking you 30 feet. That was done well. There's a constant fight he has with a dream demon. That is what kills him in real life, you know, because the superstition was that his dad said there was a spirit following their family and one day it'll get you too. So he has these dream sequences throughout the movie where he's fighting this thing. And then his mysterious death is sort of equated to that thing getting him at the end. And it was weird. I don't remember if this movie came out before or after the death of his son. But in the movie, this demon ghost was going to go after his son if he didn't stop him. He stops him. He properly kills this demon ghost in a dream. And he's like, finally, it stops with me. But then Brandon Lee died while filming The Crow. Do you know that?
Oh, no.
Do you know that? He was in The Crow and the prop gun was... was I guess the guy in charge of the props did not do a good job of removing the actual bullets.
Or, oh my god!
I think there was like a piece of shrapnel where there shouldn't have been, yeah. And someone said action, shot Brandon Lee, and it actually killed him.
It was the
demon ghost. It was the, and I don't know, man. Kind of in poor taste if you think about it, but I don't know. That's why I'm saying I don't know if this movie came out before or after that happened, but obviously, like, different in retrospect.
So this movie came out in 1993.
I think it was before that happened. Brandon Lee. I don't know when The Crow came out. Check that out. But this was another movie my mom had on VHS and we would just watch. I don't know what the criteria was for my mom, but she was just like, there's a movie on. I'm going to record it. Now you watch it forever. And we just watch it forever. It also spawned one of the best Sega Genesis games ever. I don't know if you've ever played it, we would play it all the time.
So this movie came out in 1993, May 7th, and Brandon Lee died on March 31st.
Of the same year?
Of the same year. 2 months before the movie came out.
2 months before the movie came out. So they probably just finished the movie.
Yeah.
And then that happened.
That sucks.
Oh my God. Dude, if I had any part of that movie, I'd be like, we can't release this now.
Seriously.
Because the demon ghost is real.
They're going to change the end at least.
And it's going to get him.
It already did.
Oh my God.
That's terrible.
Oof.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But
still a good movie, though.
It's a good movie. Yeah, everybody watch a movie.
Personal 10 out of 10 for me.
Watch it in memoriam.
Yeah. The Crow is supposed to be remade with Jason Momoa.
Yeah, I know, I saw.
Yeah, that didn't happen though, because Jason Momoa did not like how it was being done.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, he saw the script and the director wanted a certain way, and he was like, "That's not the way I want."
No, man. He was like,
"I don't get to say oh yeah, and I don't get to jump out of planes and say redheads. Woo! I don't get to say woo at least 7 times in this movie, so I'm not going to do it.
At least 7 times.
There's a clause in his contracts. Every movie he does, he has to say woo 7 times.
Woo.
All right. How are we on time? Do we have to keep talking about biopics?
We're at 46. I mean, so we can stop right here if you want.
Well,
do you want to?
Is there a biopic we both have seen that we can talk about? What have you seen? Because I've seen quite a few.
I've also seen quite a few. I actually wrote them down.
Okay.
Do you want to only talk about ones we've seen?
Well, I mean, we can talk about one we both seen.
So I'm gonna start with just like from newest to oldest.
Yeah, let me know, and I'll stop you.
So Hidden Figures.
Nope. Wait, that's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
No, that's Imitation Game.
Never mind. What's Hidden Figures?
Figures is the group of African American women, female scientists who help the space.
Right.
The space.
Yeah. Didn't see that.
That was such a good movie.
Yeah, I didn't see
such
it.
Such a good movie. Imitation Game is the one with Benedict Cumberbatch,
yeah.
And he's Alan Turing.
Yeah.
And he unlocks World the War code, II. Whatever.
Yeah.
Also, good movie.
Yeah.
I, Tanya, the Tanya didn't Harding see it. Story.
It's on Hulu. I have to. I know.
Which was actually really funny.
Yeah, like, yeah, I heard.
It was really good. They did a good job with it.
Yeah, and apparently she does a really good accent.
Did a good, yeah, it was like perfect. It was really funny. Darkest Hour.
That, I didn't see that. I watched the first 20 to 30 minutes, yeah. And I was like...
I mean, it's very historical.
If a movie's... I think it's with me, dude. I'm figuring a pattern because I fell asleep during the first two Hobbit movies several times.
Several times.
I lost interest of Fantastic Beasts. I think if a movie reaches a certain level of English, I tune out. I can't do it.
That's racist.
I can't do it
somehow.
I guess, yeah, against English people, but I just can't do it.
Milk.
Didn't see it.
The story of Harvey Milk.
Yeah, with Sean Penn, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Frida Kahlo.
Didn't see it with Sam Hayek.
And then La Bamba.
La Bamba. Let's talk about La Bamba.
So very similar to Selena.
Another Mexican singer. A Mexican American pop singer who lived a very soap opera-y dramatic life.
Yeah,
very. Brother Bob.
Well, it came out in what did
like
we say?
Like right after
Selena
or something.
Selena came out in 93. La Bamba. Wait, what? No.
When did La Bamba come out?
87. It came out before Selena.
Probably. I don't know.
Oh.
Great movie though.
Not my Richie.
Not my Richie. Oh, so heart wrenching when that happens. You see Bob's look on his face because she just heard,
man.
And he goes to catch her because she collapses,
oh,
and then
all
you
right.
hear the wee wee, nee 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 nee,
oh man,
nee nee.
Oh my goodness.
Lou Diamond Phillips knocks it out of the park. He's just this bright-eyed. Richie Valens in that movie was the most optimistic, amazing person ever. Because he's just I sing to kids on my downtime. I love my family. I love my music.
He was like the quintessential, like,
he found an amp in the garbage, and that's how he like played guitar. Yeah. Like, it was
self-made man.
Yeah, just and poor guy.
And so it does star Lou Diamond Phillips as Richie Valens.
But the star is Bob, if we're gonna talk serious, all right? Because Bob is an asshole.
Yes,
Bob, he's a big asshole.
Bob, how many times does he like throw Richie under the bus? Like,
every moment he can. He fucks his wife and he fucks his girlfriend and takes her from him. Remember, she like ends up being his wife and having his kids and stuff, crazy. And being abused by him.
I forgot how terrible Bob was. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
He was good in the beginning because he got them out of that slum they were living in. But then after that, he was just like the worst.
But Richie was definitely the talent, so that's why he was picked up. But Bob was a dick.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you don't know the story, watch the movie.
Watch the fucking movie.
Fantastic.
I think La Bamba is better than Selena. In my opinion, I hold it higher. Like,
do you?
I'd watch it more than Selena. Yeah. Just because, I don't know. It's like kind of a period piece.
Yeah.
For that time.
Me definitely, yeah.
But also,
tagline: born to poverty, destined for stardom. He lived the American dream.
Taglines are long.
Three sentences.
At least it was back then. I don't know. They're usually like, gonna get him or something. Whatever the movie's about. Just like, gotta finish this.
There he is.
Like,
that's the guy.
Gonna do it. Just do it.
Just do it. That's
Nike.
Different.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But obvious 10 out of 10, critically and commercially and every other adjective, 10 out of 10.
I mean, it basically made its money back. It was the budget was $6.5 million and they made back $5.6 million on the opening weekend. So
okay.
It's not bad.
I thought you were going to say that that's all they made. And I was like, that's not making their money back at all. They're almost a million short. But
that was the opening
weekend. Yeah.
But
and Lou Diamond Phillips didn't need to act after that ever again.
He was 25 when he played a 17-year-old.
Yeah, that's how it be.
That's how it be.
Just shave and you look like a kid again and you're in high school or whatever.
Let's do it.
Because he was in high school in that movie.
Yeah, he was 17.
Yep.
When he died. He died at 17.
Yeah.
What a terrible, poor
kid.
Poor sad
poor,
movie.
Poor kid.
Life.
Yeah.
But
yep, that's not even the best song in the movie.
It really isn't.
No,
I mean it's the most well known, obviously. Yeah. But like, there's a lot of other songs on this soundtrack that you should listen to.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I think Lou Diamond Phillips sounds better than the actual Richie Valens, if I'm being honest. But
oh, we didn't talk about that either.
What he sounded like?
Rami Malek. Sing
I wasn't
over.
Even sure if like which was which at like
really?
Honestly, like, yeah.
Oh, I could totally tell.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I couldn't because I wasn't sure when they use those montages to go through concerts. I was like, they're using Queen's music, obviously, but I didn't know when, because Live Aid was Rami Malek. I'm assuming, right? When they did the Live Aid concert,
some of it was, some of it wasn't.
Okay.
They definitely put vocals on top of his to make him, because I mean, like, Rami Malek, he's an okay singer, I guess, but he definitely doesn't have the range that
Freddie Mercury
did. I mean, I don't think people even now have that kind of range.
Yeah,
like nobody comes to mind. But they definitely put some stuff together.
He toured with Queen.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was in that band, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he did a good job.
Yeah.
He's no Freddie Mercury, but he did a good job.
No one's a Freddie Mercury, but Freddie Mercury.
I mean, that's true. Which is why you should go see the movie.
Do it.
Do it. And then go watch La Bamba.
Yeah, watch La Bamba before and after Bohemian Rhapsody.
And then watch Selena.
Watch La Bamba and 4DX if you can.
Yeah, bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back.
Regal, come on.
They should do that. Why don't they do that? Because I know they re-release stuff in theaters. Re-release it in 4DX.
I just watched Nightmare Before Christmas in the theater.
Mm,
and
nice.
That was a lot of fun.
The only movies I've seen re-released is, I saw The Godfather Part 2. If there's any classic movie that you can watch, do it. I watched Casablanca. I watched,
oh my goodness, in the theaters.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I watched Jaws.
Oh, that's cool.
Jaws is like a tense. I was in the theater. I was like but preoccupied with these characters. I was like, holy shit, this shark's gonna get him.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine watching it when it first came out. Yeah. People were losing their minds. Yeah. That's why people started killing sharks.
But it totally changes how you view the movie.
It really does.
Like even
makes you appreciate it.
Literally, I watched Nightmare Before Christmas in the movie theater, and the next day it was on like Freeform or whatever, yeah. And I was watching it, and I was singing along and stuff, and I was like, yay! But like it being
it kind of ruined
like
it for
20
you?
Feet long, yeah, or like large in front of you is just so different.
Yeah,
and it's like through the speakers and everything, you're so totally immersed. You're totally like feeling everything that Jack is feeling. Yeah. On TV, you're just like, this is fine, but this is Halloween.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
but no, like if you have a chance to go see
any classic movie that you should have seen,
yeah,
and you haven't seen for some reason, make the first time.
Yeah,
be
in
the theater.
It will totally change how you view movies.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that wraps our episode on biopics and our review on Bohemian Rhapsody. If you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, tips, or whatever, I don't care, send it to us. We are on email. We have relativelysubjective@gmail.com. We are Relatively Subjective on Instagram and Facebook, RelSubPod on Twitter. Find us on all of those things. Comment, subscribe, like. What else can you do?
Share.
Like we said, grab your friends' phones, make them subscribe.
Just subscribe
then
yeah.
Don't tell them you did it.
Nope.
That's all you have to do. That's all we're asking of you.
God,
it's not that hard.
It's
guys.
Not even a crime.
Come on.
It's not against the law.
Come on.
Just do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I think it is against the law.
I don't think so.
Whatever. I'm not a cop.
I
own the police. I don't own the police.
I don't own very many things. So, let us know what you think. We're going to have our illustration out within the next couple
days. I've already drawn our Freddie Mercury. It just needs to be colored.
What are we doing next week? I feel like we have a lot of movies to go see
next week. I think Overlord comes out.
Yes, it does.
So that's what we're definitely watching.
It's going to be fun.
Because I can't wait.
May all your rhapsodies be bohemian.
Yes, may they be bohemian. Whatever
and,
that means.
Have a great day.
Wonderful day. No matter what time you're listening to this, even if it's at night.
Ayo.
Ayo. Ayo.